We're coming to the Word of God this afternoon, the book of James, chapter 1, and we're going to read a few verses from James here this afternoon. James chapter 1, and reading from the verse number 22. James 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this afternoon. One of the most famous pop stars in the world was a man called Michael Jackson. One of his most famous songs, according to Wikipedia, was a song entitled Man in the Mirror. I don't know much about the song, but I'm told this song revolves around a man who is trying to alter his own ways before he starts to change the world. And the implication is, if we change our own ways, then we can change the world. I am not so sure about the ethos of this particular song, but when we come to the Word of God, we do read about a man in the mirror. A man who looks into this mirror of God's Word, he sees the true condition that he's in, but rather than do something about it, the Bible says he straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was in verse 24. And so I want to talk about a man in the mirror here this afternoon, but I'm not thinking of Michael Jackson. I'm certainly not thinking of any pop song. I want you to look into the mirror of God's word, whether you're a man, a woman, or a young person, and I want you to see what God has to say about you, and then you'll have a decision to make. Will I see what God has to say? Will I do something about it? Will I act upon the information that I'm given? And will I do as the man here in James 1? Will I straightway forget what manner of man I am? Let me mention a few things that we are in danger of forgetting here this afternoon. We're in danger of forgetting our own blackness. And I'm thinking of the blackness of our sin. James says in chapter 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James warns against listening to the word of God, and you could even agree with the word of God, but you decide that you just want to listen, and that's as far as it goes. James says what you're doing is you're deceiving your own self. It's not enough to be a hearer. You must be a doer of the word of God. And if we deceive ourselves, and the idea behind the word can actually mean deliberately deceiving ourselves. In other words, you listen to the word of God, you understand completely, you understand fully that in the sight of a holy God, something needs to change in your life. You understand that the way you are won't do for heaven. The way you are means you're not ready. And even though you fully understand, you can deceive yourself. You can be deceived into a false sense of security. And here's someone who is deceiving themselves. The word deceive can also speak of a mathematical term, a miscalculation. And let me say, this is the greatest miscalculation that you can ever make. I wonder, have you ever miscalculated something? You can imagine if you were buying a carpet and you measured incorrectly, you may not have enough. And that certainly would be a problem. Perhaps even curtains, things that you go by measurements, and if you measure them incorrectly, well, sometimes you have to pay the price. The old joiners used to say, measure twice and cut once. Measure twice and cut once. We can all be involved in miscalculations when it comes to the Word of God. If we ignore what the Word of God says, as I say, it'll be the most catastrophic miscalculation you have ever made. And James paints a simple picture here. Verse 23, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." This is a man who looks into the mirror of God's word. He sees exactly where he stands, and he decides to walk away and forget about it. Sometimes when you and I look in the mirror, perhaps in a physical condition, I'm not talking about the mirror of the God's word, we can see perhaps there's something on our face we need to remove. Perhaps our hair is not correct and we would want to do something about it. We wouldn't want to go out and look unwell or not look tidy. And so when we look into the mirror, more often than not, we will respond to what the mirror tells us. And yet when we look into the mirror of God's word, sometimes we can deliberately deceive ourselves and pretend that everything is okay. It's like going out in the morning and your hair's a mess and you say, well, it'll do rightly. Hardly anyone will notice. Or perhaps there's something on your face that needs to be washed or cleaned and you decide, I'm just going to leave it. Hopefully no one will notice. And of course, everyone will notice, or all those that you happen to share the company with. But when we think of the word forgetting, the dictionary says it means to be unable to remember something. It also can mean to treat with thoughtlessness, inattention, or neglect. It can mean to leave behind unintentionally. It can mean to fail to mention, to banish from one's thoughts, to forget, to disregard, or just to cease remembering. And of course, all of these words could be applicable when it comes to the Word of God. What a serious miscalculation. If you are to listen to the Word of God and understand fully your condition in the sight of God and yet do absolutely nothing about it. There are some words in Scripture that describe our condition in the sight of God. There was a centurion on one occasion, and he said to the Lord in Luke 7 verse 6, "I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." We are unworthy. We don't deserve anything from God. There's nothing in me, there's nothing in you that would merit anything from a loving God, from a loving Savior. We are unworthy. Paul said in Romans 5 verse 6, "For when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." We're ungodly. We may think that there's some semblance of religion about us, but if we don't know Jesus Christ, if we haven't listened to the word of God, then we're ungodly. So you and I, without Christ, we're unworthy, we're ungodly. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Here's another word, we're unjust. It's not a pretty picture that the Word of God paints of you and I without Christ. We're unworthy, we're ungodly, we're unjust. 1 John 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Did you catch another one? We are not only unworthy, we're not only ungodly, we are unjust and we are unrighteous. Isaiah the prophet, when he saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, he got a vision of a holy God, indeed a thrice holy God. And this is what he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." Isaiah was no worse than you or I. He was no better than you or I. And Isaiah says, "I am unclean. There's something in my life that's not clean." And of course, he's talking about his sin. He says, "I am undone. I am in a lost and hopeless condition." It's not a very pretty picture. When you come to the Word of God, you open up the Word of God and you go through these various scriptures, and I've only mentioned a few, we find that we're unworthy, there's nothing good in ourselves, we're ungodly, we're going against God, we're unjust, There's nothing righteous about it. We're unrighteous. We are unclean. Our lives are marked by sin. We are undone. We are lost and without hope. As I say, it's not a very pretty picture. Here's what Isaiah said: "For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people." And Isaiah uses a little word that's very difficult for us to use. It's easy to say that he is a sinner, he is undone, he is unjust, he is unworthy, he is unclean. But Isaiah didn't say that. He said, "I am unclean." He says, "I am undone." And until you and I come to that realization, until there's that honesty in the sight of a holy God, where we will honestly come and we say, "God, we realize, looking into the mirror of the Word of God, that we're sinners and we have no hope and there's nothing we can do for ourselves." Here's what the man did in the story: "For he beholdeth himself." He knew exactly where he was, but he goeth his way, just like you, understanding your sinful condition, but just going your way, and straightway, immediately, forgetting what manner of man or woman or young person you happen to be today. The Lord Jesus is able to take away that sin. John tells us in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all iniquities. The Lord Jesus can deal with that blackness, can deal with that sin. But if you come to the Word of God this afternoon and you decide just to go on your way and forget all about it, God cannot help you unless you're going to be honest and confess your sin. Things that we can forget about. We can forget about the blackness of sin. You know, I went through some scriptures and just looked for the word forget. And it's interesting the picture that you can develop. You know, in Deuteronomy, we read this in Deuteronomy 8 verse 19. "And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God." It speaks about forgetting God. "As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish." My, you could forget about the burning. And I say that graciously and tenderly. Deuteronomy 4 verse 23, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God." Here's what it says in verse 24: "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire." Here's the thing that the devil would want you to forget: that sin of yours is a big deal. That sin of yours is a big problem. Because if you don't come to Christ, if your sin's not removed, one day that sin will take you to a lost sinner's hell. Now, the devil would want you to forget about that. The devil would want you to try and put that out of your mind and straightway forget not only about the blackness, but about the burning in a lost sinner's hell. I remember flying into Liverpool Airport on quite a number of occasions. It's called the John Lennon Airport in memory of one of the former Beatles who was sadly murdered in the USA. But I didn't realise this, but I was reading that one of the logos of the airport is "Above Us Sky." And it comes from one of Lennon's songs. And in that song, Lennon says basically that there's no hell. Imagine there's no hell. And imagine above us there are skies only. And of course, men like Lennon and others would want you to forget that there's a hell. But this book says there is. And I'm asking you this afternoon not to forget. Lennon says, imagine there's no hell beneath us and above us on his skies. God says there is a hell, and it's real, and he doesn't want you to forget about it. Don't forget about the blackness of sin. Don't forget about the burning, but let me be positive. Don't forget about the benefits of God's salvation. Psalm 103, again, we find the word forget. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, we know something about benefits. The government sometimes hand out benefits. There's people who have needs, and it's good that we have a government who can meet those needs at times. But these are the benefits that God offers to you. One involves your sin. Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Imagine, God is able to forgive not only some of your sins, but all of your sins. Think of how powerful, who? Think of the pardon, forgiveness. Think of the provision, all. Think of how personal it is. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? My sin, not in part but the whole, are nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The Lord says to those who are saved, their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. My, what a benefit. Your sins can be taken away. But he talks not only about our sin, he talks about our souls, who healeth all thy diseases. He's speaking about spiritual healing for the soul. You know, we're sick. We're sick with sin. And only Christ has the remedy. And don't forget this wonderful benefit. He can heal your sin-sick soul. He can deal with our sin. He can heal our souls. It goes on to say in Psalm 103, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I know there are some here. One of our brethren prayed at the Lord's table this morning, and he said, where would I be if it had not been for Calvary? Where would I have been if it had not been for Christ? And all of us who are saved, we don't know where we'd have been. Would we have destroyed our lives through drink? Would we have destroyed our lives through some other sinful habit? Would we have destroyed our lives through riotous living? Who knows where we'd have been? But God says, I can redeem thy life from destruction. And maybe you're heading down a destructive pathway. And maybe you're heading down a dangerous pathway. And the Lord's saying to you this afternoon, I can stop you in your tracks. I can save that life of yours and change you for time and for eternity. My, think of all the benefits. Our sins can be gone. Our souls can be ready for heaven. We can be stopped from on that path that leads to destruction. We can find satisfaction. Again, Psalm 103, verse 5. Remember, the Lord says, don't forget these things. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Only Christ can satisfy. We live in a world where there's so little satisfaction. And the more that people get, the more they seem to need. The more they seem to want. God says, I can give you satisfaction because none but Christ can satisfy. You can have a purpose in life. You can understand what life is all about. And when you get Christ, you get real life and you get abundant life. Don't forget about your blackness. Don't just look into the mirror of God's word and drive back home again and just straightway immediately shut it out of your mind. Don't forget about the burning. The devil would love you to think there's no hell. And just put it out of your mind. Imagine there's no hell. You can imagine it away, but it won't change. Don't forget about the benefits. You know, the government give out benefits, but taxpayers ultimately pay for the benefits. The benefits that Christ is offering you were paid for when he went to Calvary, and for you, they're absolutely free. Christ died, as we read already, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so Christ took the punishment for your sin. And if you will acknowledge your sin and confess your sin and repent of your sin and come to Christ for salvation, you get all these benefits. Your soul is ready for heaven. You'll have satisfaction that you've never had before. Your sins will be gone. Don't forget about it. I know the devil would want to tell you, you come to Christ and life is over. Maybe the Lord has a word for somebody else in the meeting this afternoon, because I was thinking of a forgetful backslider. You know, we read in Scripture about a man called Joseph. And Joseph is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he helped a man once in prison. This man was a butler, and the butler had a dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream, and the butler was set free. And Joseph said, you know, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. But you know, when the butler got out, he went about his work, he went about his business, and he forgot all about Joseph. And let me say, there may be somebody here, and you've forgotten all about Christ. There was a time when you walked well with the Lord. There was a time when you loved the Lord. Maybe even served the Lord. But you've forgotten all about it. You've put it to the back of your mind. You've put Christ out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. And you've given up on the person of Jesus Christ. For 2 years, the chief butler didn't remember Joseph. But you know, problems came. And Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler, when Pharaoh was placed with this problem, the butler forgot that he remembered about Joseph. And it took problems and it took difficulties for him to think about Joseph again. I wonder, has problems and difficulties come into your life? You know, the chief butler said, I do remember my faults this day. He remembered. He remembered in the midst of trouble that he had forgotten about Joseph. Have you forgotten about Jesus? Have you walked away from him? Have you backslidden from him? Have you grown cold and you've put him out of your sight and out of your mind? But there's problems, there's difficulties, there's trials and troubles have come. And now you're starting to think about Christ again. And the Lord's inviting you to come back to him this afternoon. He's calling on the backsliders not to be forgetful, not to forget about Christ, but rather like the prodigal son when he remembered what things used to be like at home, how he loved the father, how he had the blessing of home and the blessing of family. He realized sitting in the pigsty that the world had nothing to offer. Has God been speaking to you in the pigsty? And God says it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to take that journey and remember Jesus Christ and stop forgetting about him. Oh, we can forget about the blackness of our sin. We can forget about the burning for those who die without Christ. We can forget about the benefits because the devil doesn't want us to remember. But you know, I was also thinking about a time when forgetfulness will be banished. You know, I'm finding that it's more difficult to remember things, to remember names. I know as we get older, this is part of growing older, when you just don't have the same brain cells and it's not as easy to recall and to remember. And maybe you know what that's like. But you know, there's a day coming when those who die without Christ will have a perfect memory. You know, because we read about a man who died and was buried, and he lifted up his eyes in hell. And you know what Abraham said to him? Son, remember, no forgetfulness in hell. And here's the scary thing this afternoon. You will remember being at the drive-in church in Refreeland. You will remember the day when you heard about the man who looked into the mirror of the Word of God and immediately forgot where he was going and who he was. The man who you can remember that you forgot about the benefits of knowing Christ, your sins could be gone. Your soul will be cleansed. You'll be stopped from destruction. You'll be satisfied. And you will recall all of this. You will have a perfect memory in hell. You'll remember where you were parked. You'll remember what Jack and Ellie sang. You'll remember what was preached. And this will go on and on and on through the countless ages of eternity. Wouldn't it be best for you to look into the mirror of God's word and just remember, even here this afternoon, what the Lord has been saying to you? Wouldn't it be better just to remember? Remember the blackness of sin, but remember the benefits, that if you come to Christ, He will forgive all your iniquities. He will cleanse you from all sin. He will make you a child of God, make you one that's ready for heaven and ready for home. Don't forget this afternoon when you look into the mirror of the Word of God. I was reading, I didn't think it was true, but apparently there's a lady and she developed what's called the skinny mirror. And apparently if you get one of these mirrors, it takes 10 pounds off you. You look into the mirror and you look thinner than you really are. Now apparently when they put these in shops and ladies are trying on clothes, when they look into the mirror and they look 10 pounds lighter, apparently they're more prone to buy clothes. I don't know what the science is behind it, but this mirror doesn't give a true picture. And people act upon this mirror and they're fooled into buying more clothes. And these skinny mirrors are available. I don't know whether I'll get one or not. I would need more than 10 pounds taken off. I might need a couple of mirrors. When you come to the Word of God, there's no fool, there's no trickery. The mirror of the Word of God will tell you exactly how you are. It's honest, because thy word is truth, and this word gives you the full and the complete picture. Without Christ, we're lost and on our way to hell. With Christ, we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. Now, when you've looked into the mirror of the Word of God this afternoon, are you going to be like the man that James talks about? Are you going to straightway, immediately, just even before you leave, just where you sit in the car, are you going to forget just immediately what God has been saying to you? Or will you hear? Will you respond? And will you take Christ as your Savior? The man in the mirror, what effect will it have on you this afternoon? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, you know all the occupants of the cars here today. Lord, you know those who are saved, and we pray, Lord, they'll be encouraged. And Lord, that they'll be the type that'll be not only hearers, but doers of the Word of God. Lord, you know any here who are backslidden. Lord, they're not what they used to be. Lord, they've wandered into bypath meadows. And Lord, you're speaking to them and you're telling them to remember Jesus, to remember where they were and what they had with Christ. And Lord, we're praying that backsliders will be restored here this afternoon. But Lord, for any who are here without Christ, Lord, we do pray that they will be honest as the Word of God reveals their true condition. And Lord, we pray that they might accept the offer of God's salvation, a full and a free and a forever salvation. And Lord, what a day this would be, a day that they'll remember forever, a day that they'll never forget, and a day that they'll remember in eternity. That was the day when I found Christ. Lord, bless thy word and do thine own work. For it's in our Saviour's name we pray.